Welcome to another Pharma Forum podcast. In this episode, I spoke with Elise de Reyes, co-founder of Cradle, while she was on site at King's Place London for the 10th annual Wired Health Conference back in March, an event that seeks to highlight the most exciting and thought-provoking disruptors, scientists, and practitioners making a positive change in the way healthcare is both provided and accessed. Cradle is a Gen AI platform helping scientists design and program proteins, and Elise walked me through the various areas of application and acceleration this technology permits. It's a snippet of what could very well be a longer conversation, and there is, as with most such discussions recorded live on site at events, background noise. But hopefully our brief discourse is worth a listen, providing, as it does, insights into developments in the field. Certainly, the air of positivity is palpable. As ever, thank you for listening.
This is web editor Nicole Raleigh, and I am live on site at Wired Health London with Elise de Reyes, co-founder of Cradle, a generative AI platform that helps scientists to design and program proteins. Backed by Kindred and Index, the company recently raised a $24 million Series A after experiencing strong interest since it launched from Stealth in 2022. Cradle has since then onboarded 9 leading industry partners in the past year, including Johnson & Johnson Innovation, Novozymes, and Twist Bioscience, and recently signed a partnership with Ginkgo Bioworks, who is offering Cradle to its customers as the industry-leading AI platform for multi-property protein design. Good to speak with you, Elise.
Thank you for having me.
So perhaps you could first of all share for listeners your journey to today.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a biologist by training, so I've always been fascinated by what microorganisms and biology can do in large human applications. So pharmaceuticals, sustainability, did a PhD in bioengineering, and my training was very much wet lab focused. And so I've always tried to scale up experimentation, running experiments with robots in places like Perfect Day Foods, who make dairy protein from microbes, as well as at Zymergen, a synthetic biology company making bio-based molecules, and have realized that while we've done a great deal in running more experiments, it's been traditionally hard to design better experiments. And so as biologists working in the lab, you see many high error rate or a high failure rate. And that was what led me to co-found Cradle 2.5 years ago. At Cradle, we're helping biologists like my former self design better proteins using generative AI to move away from the trial and error approach, which is long and costly, more to targeted designs to help design proteins that meet their goals.
Gosh, that's quite a wide remit of research you've got in your past. Thank you for sharing that. So if we sort of stick with that wider remit, could you share for listeners some of the sort of biggest trends and challenges that you're identifying that scientists are facing in developing bio-based products today?
Absolutely. So when developing new bio-based products, you have to test each design in the lab. And this process takes 8 to 12 weeks and is extremely expensive. So bringing, for example, a new drug to market costs, you know, $200 to $300 million US dollars just in the R&D phase alone. And it takes a lot of time. Where we have a lot to gain is to develop better proteins from the get-go using generative machine learning. And that is why at Cradle, we think that the time is right to build a software platform that really empowers biologists designing better proteins in labs across the world to do this more quickly and more effectively, leveraging generative machine learning. This has enabled us to show that we can speed up development trajectories over fourfold across industry. So not just pharma like Johnson & Johnson Innovation, but also sustainable enzymes like with Novonesis, formerly known as Novozymes.
Gosh, as you say, the benefits are substantial. And sticking with what Cradle is doing, it's representing, as you say, significant real-world gains when it comes to the R&D of biological products. So another example is that biopharma companies, and correct me if I'm wrong, spend an average of $22 million and 42 months on R&D, as you were alluding to earlier, to get a single potential product ready for clinical testing, with only around 35% of programs progressing to clinical trials at all. Is that correct?
Yeah, so yeah. What you're basically facing, if you want to develop a new protein, whether that is a protein vaccine like the Janssen vaccine that maybe many of us got during COVID, or a molecule that has been made with an enzyme like the Moderna vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, is that these proteins or enzymes have to meet all these different design specifications in order to be useful to a human, so to not fall apart in the human body, or to operate at the right temperature, or to be stable so that they can be shipped around the world for equitable access. Optimizing all these proteins simultaneously is extremely difficult. And it's very hard for a human to comprehend and make these better designs. And that's where we're really seeing that, like ChatGPT, proteins or models that have been trained on the human language that can generate human outputs, human language responses to our questions. There are now these large protein models that have been trained on protein language that can really generate new designs that increase your chances of hitting all those design specifications to make sure that the protein that you're designing actually can be used by us as humans.
Yes, this is actually something earlier today that Colly was talking about from AlphaFold, about the predictive capabilities of AI. So just to return to CRADL, I also understand that it's on a mission to reduce the environmental impact in some regard of human consumption. And there was the McKinsey Global Institute prediction that 60% of everything that humans consume could be produced using synthetic biology, a market that is worth some $10 billion. Are you able to share your thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's much broader than synthetic biology, of course. Yeah. Biology includes plants, it's enzymes, it's there are so many starting points that biology offers us in the challenges that we're facing with an aging population, so the human health, but also the planetary health. If you think about, for example, all the materials that we use currently that are based from petrochemicals, we will need to find alternative ways of producing that. And this is where enzymes play an extremely important role. Also, if you think about recycling, we're reducing the waste that we are generating. There are fantastic enzymes that can break down post-consumer plastic products within a week. So there really is no limit to where humans can use these improved proteins.
Yes, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? That's been developing for a few years. I've been keeping an ear on that. As you say, human health, planetary health, they go hand in hand. So lastly, returning to the brilliant funding situation at the moment for CRADL, what is the vision for CRADL post-funding as it scales in a fast-growing, as we can all agree, biotech market?
So we want CRADL to be the leading protein design software that is accessible to any biologist designing better proteins in labs worldwide, whether these are industry leaders like Johnson & Johnson Innovation or ambitious mid-market or startups. We want them to have access to state-of-the-art machine learning that really leverages the data that they produce in their wet labs to move towards their design goals faster. We also believe that this technology will become a commodity. And so we think that the time is ripe for building a software as a service platform that is able to have a very high rate of developing models, verifying them, validating them with not only benchmarks, but also the data that we collect in our own in-house wet lab. So in the future, we believe that we're moving to a world where scientists will always use some form of machine learning to verify what protein they're working with and suggest improvements to make sure that these tiny but powerful machines are the best that they can be in the process.
Absolutely. Thank you, Elise. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely speaking with you.
And so that concludes another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find out more information about this episode, including a download link and information about previous installments of the series at pharmaforum.com/podcasts. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podbean, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. Of course, don't forget to visit our website itself, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and follow us on Twitter, or X nowadays, at Pharmaforum. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.